It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey everyone, this is DJ.
And this is Ish.
And this is Season 7 of Better Let Me Tell You. You say these obscure sayings that I think that most people don't know. Wet your whistle, mojar el pito.
Well, that sounds horrible in Spanish.
It's the same thing.
And yet it's not.
Baja mojar el pito. Y tu pitaste. Y pitaste.
Aw.
Wait, what episode are we in?
We are in 294.
Welcome, everybody, to episode 294 of Better Let Me Tell You. How is everybody doing? ¿Cómo pasaron la semana?
I think everybody's doing well, whether or not you have mojado tu pito. I think everybody's doing right.
Mojando tu pito. Chupa tu paleta. Chupa tu paleta. Let me tell you something. And welcome, everybody.
Is this going to be the sexual episode?
¿Cómo está todo el mundo? How is everybody?
Everybody's good.
Everybody's good. I feel that, like, in the mid to late 90s, all these, like, really out there, like, salsa merengue songs came out. Like, esa chupa tu paleta y es una sopa de pollo en mayonesa.
A lot of food-based music.
Oh, my God. Do you know a song I hate?
I mean, that could be anything with you.
Oh, my God. It's so awful. That song is so bad. I was just going to say a really inappropriate word.
I can't even think of what it would be.
I'm not going to say it. That song is terrible. And then of all things, La Ketchup.
Las Hijas del Ketchup.
That's what their name was?
Yeah.
What? Why?
Because their father actually...
Was their father last name Hines?
No. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Heinz family is actually from Spain.
The España Española.
No, their father was a ketchup man, owned a ketchup factory or tomato factory in Spain. Or tomato farm or something like that.
Okay, so? And so let's be called the Ketchup Girls?
I'm just telling you where the name came from.
That's a horrible name.
Like, I didn't make it.
Who thought in that management and record company? Or, you know, as I say, these meetings are done in the collective, right? Mm. You know, when sometimes you see a really bad movie or really bad music or something, it's like, right. This wasn't just one person. This was a collective amount of people that said, yeah, this is a good idea. So, what is going to be your group name? Oh, Las Hijas del Ketchup. I mean...
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Just think, for every bad idea, there was a first draft.
Oh my God, listeners. So there was this show that Tristan used to watch when he was smaller called The Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh, I love that.
And honestly, if you have kids, I mean, the big kids could watch that show. It is freaking hilarious. Like, hilarious, because it's one of these cartoons that it's for children, obviously, but the humor is also, it tiene doble sentido. Right. Like, the humor parents, you know, will find funny, and there's certain things that go over the kids' heads, right? Excuse me. And there was an episode of, I was going to say, of Dharma and Greg.
I'm pretty sure that was not what you were watching.
I didn't watch that when it was on in the 90s.
Neither anyway, did Jenna Elfman.
There was an episode of, again, The Amazing World of Gumball, that they go into like some type of vortex where they end up in like the land of bad ideas. Awesome. I've shown it to you. And the one who's there is Clippy. Clippy, the Betamax, the Hindenburg.
I mean, no lies detected.
I'm like, Clippy, you know, everybody freaking hated on Clippy.
So annoying.
You thought Clippy was annoying? Why did you think Clippy was annoying?
Because he was just always there, and I did not need your help, Clippy.
What did Clippy ever do to you?
He knows.
He knows? What was it?
I won't say. There's an NDA involved.
I loved Clippy. I think that if Clippy would have been a thing now, Clippy would have totally had a spinoff series. For those of you who don't remember, right, Clippy was this thing on Microsoft Word, which was like your assistant. It was sort of Siri in the late 90s, early aughts.
That's a good comparison.
Right? And Clippy would pop up when you needed help in Microsoft Word or Microsoft Office. And he was a paper clip. And he was really cute. But people hated Clippy.
I mean, he was cute, but he was annoying.
You could just X him out, you know, right click.
Yes, but you had to constantly do it.
Oh my gosh, yeah, first world problems.
It is the definition.
But yeah, the Betamax. You know why I know Betamax? Because in the 80s and 90s, when we would send like music videos to Cuba, they were in Beta. Ese es un Betamax. So my grandmother, I don't know who my grandmother knew that had a Betamax. So they would bring the Betamax to the house. Have you ever seen a Betamax player? It's like the size of a Buick.
I think my grandfather had a Betamax player, because my grandfather was one of the ones who would buy like all the technology the minute it came out.
Right.
Regardless of whether or not he knew how to actually handle it.
So he had a HD DVD player.
By then he didn't really care, but
anyway, the Betamaxes were sort of like the VHS, but smaller, but the machine was bigger that played them. But in Cuba, for some reason, they only had Betamax in the 80s. I mean, the little that they had Betamax. And we always had to like do all the home videos and all the music videos that we would send them.
See, kids, that's what you get with communism, Betamax.
They're probably still using Betamax. I mean, they probably just upgraded to VHS. Let me ask you something. When you were a kid, did you record a lot from television on VHS?
I did, especially once we got cable.
Do you still have the tapes?
No. I mean, maybe. Okay,
how is it that you don't have anything and I have everything?
Because you're a hoarder and I'm not.
I have all of my VHS tapes. All of them. It's like 100 of them.
They might be at my parents' house, but I
have the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown from like 1989. I have the 1988 Olympics completely recorded. I have a lot of really good stuff. I have like, oh my gosh. You know what I have on VHS that it aired on CBS. And this was probably in like 1986. I was really, really small, because I remember we got a VCR in 1985, and I was like, I could barely count. and we got a VCR, and yet I was like, you know, handling the VCR.
You were the tech guy.
I have Mickey's Christmas Carol from like 1986, 1987 recorded. I still have it. And it has the thing of, because it was all like the Disney cartoons, right, for Christmas. And in addition to Mickey's Christmas Carol, it had that Goofy skis thing. Goofy learned skiing. I love it.
So good.
And then, you know, the short of when Mickey gets the Christmas tree.
With Chip and Dale.
With Chip and Dale. Oh, I freaking hated Chip and Dale. Because I always liked Pluto.
Okay.
I always liked, quote unquote, no pun intended, the underdog.
Yeah, it's on Holy End Pluto always. Yeah.
And I always felt that Pluto was underappreciated.
Oh.
Is Goofy a dog puffing?
I think that Goofy is a dog in the way that Hello Kitty is a cat, but she isn't a cat.
How is Hello Kitty not a cat?
Okay, because Hello Kitty is a cat, but within her own world, she's not a cat. She's just a little girl who happens to be a cat.
Okay.
There was a whole discussion about this years ago.
What's Sanrio?
Sanrio.
Okay, let me ask you something. I'm curious. Does Hello Kitty finally live in the same universe as Kuropi?
Yeah, they're all connected.
Okay.
Kuropi, that's
so. Is Kuropi not a frog?
Okay. By the substantive, what is it? The substantive process of, you know, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yes, I would have to say that's probably true. Like, he's probably not a frog, but it's probably just a little boy who happens to look like a frog.
Okay, there was also a penguin, right?
Tuxedo Sam.
Okay, so he's not a penguin either?
Correct.
So he's just a little boy that happens to look like a penguin.
Right, and the reason I think this, the reason that I say it that way, and I think what they're trying to get at is the fact that, like, within the world of Hello Kitty, there are cats and frogs that exist as cats and frogs. So in other words, you can't have Hello Kitty be a cat and also have, like, a cat as a pet.
A meow cat.
Right, because then it gets weird.
Okay.
So that's why they're like, she's a little girl who happens to look like a cat, essentially.
So she's not a cat.
Except she looks like a cat.
But she's not a cat.
Right, within the rules of that world, she's not a cat.
This is so freaking confusing. So no una gata.
No. She couldn't work for Godoposel.
So wait. So she doesn't meow?
I've never heard her say anything.
Does she talk?
That's what I was going to say. I don't think I ever heard Hello Kitty talk.
Hello Kitty was one of those things that as a little boy I hated. But then again, I was a little boy.
You were such a little boy.
I hated all the... I really had angst against girl toys. I mean, a lot of little boys do. And yeah. I would, like, rip my cousin's Barbies. I was bad.
Ghetto, hubieran hecho that to your toys.
To my masters of the universe? Mm-hmm.
They still would have been hearing about it.
So, anyway. Okay, so something I wanted to bring up this week that I read...
Okay.
I feel everything I'm going to bring up this week is stuff that I read, the farandula or frivolous. So
nothing from CBS Sunday Morning?
No, there's nothing from CBS Sunday Morning.
Okay.
Miraculously, or The View. Anyway, so I was reading on People Magazine, and I came across this article of this teacher that called in sick for 2 days. To go see a concert in Nashville.
Okay.
First, I was like, what concert?
Oh, that's true, yeah.
But the article didn't say, which I was like, total fail. So she was from Ohio, from the Lakota School District in Ohio.
Okay.
And I guess she drove down to Nashville on like a Thursday and Friday and called in sick for 2 days.
Okay.
And she is currently, she's been suspended and they're waiting to have a final school board hearing to fire her. Because she took, as they call, a medical leave, you know, that was frivolous. She did it to go to a concert. So they're considering the school board, based on their union contract, they're stating that she took medical leave, and that as such, because she took the medical leave, and she really didn't, it wasn't a medical leave, it's she like went fraud. To a concert. Yes, and as such, they are going to terminate her. What type of crock is that?
Okay, first of all, what concert was it? The Insane Clown Posse? Because, like, I mean...
It better have been worth it.
I mean, seriously. I just wonder, again, this is where, like, the devil's in the details, right? Because you can take a sick day and say it's a mental health day and go to the beach. Right. You know what I mean?
But according to the article that I read, remember that teachers are unionized?
Right.
So under the, I guess, union contract, there's very specific times or instances for sick leave. So it has to be like a medical appointment or like a medical procedure or something like that, or you're in the emergency room, sick leave.
Okay, so the parameters are very clear,
right? It's sick leave.
Okay,
but you know, I know what probably happened there. She probably got the tickets last minute on StubHub and she was like, oh my god, this concert is in Nashville is a few hours away from Ohio, so I'm gonna have to call in sick for 2 days. and go to the concert.
Right.
You know, I understand that rules are rules, and, you know, rules are there for a reason, and, you know, sick leave and PTO and things like that are things that could very easily be abused. But I think that this is throwing the book at her, because unless there's something substantial here that we don't know, and I read the article, mm-hmm. The school board was very like, these are the rules, and she broke the rules. And I'm like, you know what? Teachers already have to deal with enough bullshit.
Thank you.
There's this teacher shortage in the United States. They have to deal with all these terrible things. They're underpaid, undervalued, underappreciated. And then on top of that, this woman who's been a teacher since 2005.
Wow.
Right? So going on almost 15 years, right? So she's been a teacher all these years. You're going to fire her because she called in sick for 2 days? You know what? At worst, don't pay her for 2 days.
Yeah, right? Suspend her.
Or don't pay her for 2 days and that's it. At worst, right?
Right.
But you're going to humiliate her and have her lose her job, you know, and you know, how she sustains herself, her livelihood, because she called in sick to go to a concert. I mean, that is a type of ridiculous regulatory bullshit that makes people so angry and makes people so like upset at like the system, because it's like teachers have it bad enough already, and you're gonna suspend someone and take away their livelihood because she called in sick for a concert.
Yeah, and it's not like everybody's lining up to become a teacher, so it's not like there's a replacement just waiting in the wings, right?
What concert do you think it was?
Did they say the time frame?
No. Okay, wow. So it wasn't Taylor Swift or Beyonce. That would have been last year. And Taylor Swift isn't touring the U.S. right
okay,
now.
Okay, so it was this year.
Yes.
Oh, it was this year. Okay. So it would have been like January, February, March. Maybe Madonna?
Oh, maybe.
I'm trying to think.
The article didn't state. I was like, what a fail. What a fail on this reporter, People magazine.
I mean, give us the real details, people.
That's the first thing. When I read the headline, in addition to being outraged, I was like, okay, but who was it? What concert did she go to?
I'll say this. Look, I understand rules are rules, and I understand that there's parameters so people don't abuse it. But at the end of the day, a lot of these things, like, you know, and I don't know how it works with teachers in general, but specifically in that school district, a lot of these things are kind of use it or lose it. So if at the end of the year, you know, you have 3 sick days left to take or 2 PTO days and you don't take them, you lose them sometimes.
Right.
So you know what? No, screw that. I'm not leaving money on the table.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to take my 2 days. They are my days to take ultimately.
Right.
And at my discretion.
Yeah, and again, you know, the punishment doesn't fit the crime.
Right.
I mean, that's a severe punishment for 2 days. It's not like she took, you know, she faked a pregnancy to get 3 months off, like, you know, sick paid leave or maternity leave, the right. That is paid for. Maybe it's paid for in her by her union or whatever, and they found out she wasn't pregnant. I mean, okay, that's a more extreme thing, but yeah, like, that's ridiculous.
It's crazy. And again, it's not like it's not like teachers, like you said, earn all this money, and it's like you've got people lining up to become a teacher, so you're gonna fire somebody who, after what is it, 15 years decided, yeah, I'm gonna take a me day.
Yeah.
So no, that's crazy. Okay, Pedro Primos. You know what's worse than needing to see a doctor without insurance? Having insurance and still waiting months to get an appointment y después te clavan with the copay y que you're out of network y no sé qué. Bueno, whether insured or not, Miami's got a medical game changer. Dr. Good Price, a fully equipped medical facility. Dr. Good Price offers medical consultations for $35 and other medical services starting at just $10. And the best part? It's walk-ins only, with most patients seen within about 30 minutes. Unlike some doctor's offices where your appointment's at 7 a.m. and 2 hours later, you're still sitting there esperando. Plus, they don't accept any insurance, which means you get billed right there up front with no hidden fees or bills mailed to you months later. Oh, and did we mention they also have an on-site pharmacy? Medical care is important, but it shouldn't be at the cost of your time and money. Dr. Good Price believes everyone should be able to get affordable medical care on your time. Visit drgoodprice.com today for more info and services.
Okay, something I've sort of been wanting to bring up for a while. It's just an observation, and I'm sure a lot of you listeners have noticed. So McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's even, Chick-fil-A, Taco Bell, and the list goes on and on. Why is it that fast food restaurants that used to have so much character and were so lively and were so full of personality have become these boxes? I mean, McDonald's is the worst one. It's a gray, I mean, it's literally a gray box with like a yellow half arch. And then Taco Bell, now it's gray with purple. And Burger King, the same. It's all, they're all boxy. They're all terrible. Like, who thought this was a good idea? And why do these fast food restaurants, which the epitome of capitalism, are starting to look like communist like monuments? Yeah. Porque están de madre. They're all gray and square and concrete. Like, who thought this was a good idea? I'm curious.
So I actually kind of have an answer for this.
You kind of have an answer.
So there's multiple things at play. Number one, when they started cracking down more about like the whole, you know, you have to put the calorie intake and everything, so you can't really appeal to children as much. Like, think about it. They don't really push Happy Meals anymore and things like that, right? As much as when we were growing up. So they started skewing away, getting rid of the playgrounds, getting rid of the birthday parties, right? Because they started feeling that pressure of like childhood obesity. So they started to shift away from that. So what happens? Who do you have to focus on now? You have to focus on a more adult audience, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean boring, but what they were trying to do in a way was compete actually, and this is true. They're trying to compete more with like a Starbucks, which Starbucks has a personality, but if you look at Starbucks has more of a like, we're craft coffee. We're going to have music. Come enjoy. Sit with us for a while. Do you know what,
to me? You're right. Starbucks has a personality. To me, Starbucks' personality is they don't have a personality, which entail is a personality.
Well, there you go.
It's insipid.
There you go.
So, well, I haven't used that word in a while.
You have not, actually. So they're shifting away to that because now then there's also the whole other layer of people like, oh, well, you know, as we've heard many times, I don't do fast food. Oh, fast food. So what they're trying to do is at least image-wise not look like the fast food drive-through perception that it had before. Mm-hmm. So it's all these factors are kind of putting themselves together. But ultimately, what it winds up looking like is the one kid who used to star in all the plays in elementary school who grew up to become a CPA.
Okay. Did you come up with that by yourself?
On the spot. Yes, I did. No offense to all of our listeners who are CPAs. But yeah, that's why I was actually having this conversation the other day. Like all these fast food places just look like middle-aged adults who've given up.
I just think that, especially with McDonald's, okay, let's say that they wanted a more sophisticated look, more modern, sophisticated, less whimsical,
right?
Whimsical, more for young adults, whatever. They still could have gone another way.
Oh, yeah.
They didn't have to have a gray box.
Right.
I mean, there's so much they could have done.
And the funny thing with McDonald's specifically is that in recent years, despite the fact that they have that, you know, beige personality, they keep doing these really cool partnerships that are almost the exact opposite of that look, right? Because when you're doing the Grimace celebration where everything is purple, you want something whimsical. You want something perky. When you're partnering with Cardi B is many things. Boring is not one of them.
She's not gray, boxy, and boring.
Right. She's listen, she is brown, curvy, and exciting. You know, and yet it's almost like they've created this box that can become anything they need it to be without being anything at all.
Right. They're just awful.
Yeah, it's just blah.
They look awful. Again, they're like the number one sign of capitalism, yet they look like, you know, communist Eastern Bloc architecture. I mean, just put the Star of Lenin on top of them. I mean, they're awful. They're awful.
In Russia, we love Big Mac.
The only one that I don't like it, but at least Wendy's changed their font and their font's a little more curvy.
But it's still like that cursive look.
Yeah.
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 And I will say, at least Taco Bell kept the purple.
They kept the purple, but everything is like gray and it's just...
Yeah, but McDonald's went polar opposite. It used to be like yellow and red, and now it's like brown and gray. which is, you know, totally not
but,
even.
But it's kind of like, who are you trying to fool?
Right.
Because I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to be more, look more upmarket.
Right.
Right. They're trying to like be sort of like maybe a Five Guys or a.
Oh, that's a good one.
Or como se llama, Shake Shack, something right, like right, that. Right. But you're not. And that's okay. Because when we go to these fast food restaurants, we're going because we know what to expect. This is what we're going for.
The comfort.
Right? Whatever it may be, this is what we're going for. So I don't go to McDonald's wanting a more upscale experience. In fact, I go to McDonald's because I don't want, at that moment, an upscale experience.
I want familiarity.
Although at this point in time, you might as well go for the upscale experience because, you know. Oh, I tell you that I take Tristan Fridays, I take him to McDonald's. That's his treat for the week. And he just orders a Big Mac meal with, he doesn't get a soda, he gets a strawberry banana smoothie. And it's like over $12.
I believe it.
And it's like, what? Like, wait, what? Like, at first, I would be like, Tristan, what did you order? And then I'm like, he just ordered like the quarter pounder with nothing on it. Right? Oh, he doesn't have with anything on it, the medium fries, and a strawberry banana smoothie. And it's like $12.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The other day, I told you about it, that they somebody found a perfectly preserved receipt from Taco Bell from like 1996.
Yeah.
And it was like a burrito.
$69.79.99. Yeah.
It was like a burrito, a soda, the cinnamon twist, and a taco or whatever. And it was like $3.
Yeah.
$3. I remember when going to Taco Bell, you could eat like a king. You'd be like, no. I'll treat.
As you and I know that we've been going to Taco Bell more recently now after our pop-ups, we spent like $40 on Taco Bell, and I'm like, buy it so we go to a real Mexican restaurant.
Seriously.
They'll bring us sizzling tableside fajitas.
And scintillating conversation with the waiters.
It's true.
Yeah. No, you're not wrong. All right. Before you go into anything else, though, we got today, and this is not a paid sponsorship, I'm putting this out there. So it's like around Earth Day, which is probably why this thing exists. Mm-hmm. So we saw that there's plant-based Hershey's chocolate.
The shore
and of yours. Yeah.
So we are going to eat live on air.
Yeah.
Let's see. Camera focus.
We're
going to eat a plant-based Hershey's chocolate bar.
Yes. It's
chocolate. Let's see how it tastes like.
Yep.
And this is not a paid sponsorship. We're really curious as to what it tastes like. So, yep. I mean, I think you and I are open-minded to plant-based things. I mean, we're not going vegan, but I'm open-minded in balancing it and, you know, trying plant-based stuff. So this is Hershey's plant-based oat chocolate confection. Oh, you already lost me with the oat. Extra creamy almond and sea salt. Okay.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, chocolate is, I mean, it's already plant-based. Cocoa. So it's true. You know, true. So we're already starting on the right foot.
Yeah, but my favorite part of chocolate is the milk.
I know. I don't like oat milk.
I don't like
it. Tastes like I'm drinking cereal.
Anything.
Not even. You don't do oatmeal.
I did overnight oats forever, and I really tried to get into it, and I did it in different flavors, and I added different things to it, and I was like, I'm lying to myself when I have this in the morning. I go, oh, this is so healthy and I love it. I'm like, I'm lying to myself. This is crap.
I like oatmeal.
Okay, well, I'm giving you the rest of it. I'm just having a little piece. All right. Here we go. Our plant-based Hershey's chocolate bar.
I'm sniffing it first.
It's not bad.
It tastes like Hershey's.
It's not bad. You know what? Oh, another one.
The consistency is not bad, which is the biggest thing with plant-based.
You know what? Oat milk, good. Sea salt, good.
Yeah.
Cocoa, good.
Almond,
good.
If you didn't know that this was plant-based, you wouldn't. Like, if we didn't see it, I wouldn't know. I would think something was off, but I wouldn't know it was plant-based necessarily.
It's not bad.
I need it again.
You know what? I'd give this one a win.
Again, I think the key here is that the main ingredient of a chocolate bar is already pretty plant-based.
Yeah.
You know, you already started on the right foot.
Right.
Whereas when it's like, oh, it's plant-based, you know, picadillo. It's like, well, we've already started very differently.
Actually, plant-based picadillo is not that bad because picadillo, you can make it taste like anything.
It's the first time I've had.
The one that I always laugh at is like the plant-based sirloin steak with grill marks. And I'm like, it's not a sirloin steak. Like, let's not lie to ourselves. You know, let's not do that. Let's not go down that road. No need to lie. It's not. It's painted tofu.
Badly.
And you know, there's a lot of plant-based and vegan options that I really like. There's a restaurant in the Grove, in Coconut Grove.
Queen?
No, Twisty Z is it called? That it's Asian inspired, and it's plant-based, and it is really good. I mean, I don't mean good for plant-based. No, it's delicious, like really, really good, and it's. I mean, plant-based options are always going to be more. So is it more expensive than if you were to go to a Chinese restaurant? Yeah, it is. But it's good, actually.
Oh, man.
Minty Z. That's what it's called. Minty Z. Minty Z. Yeah. It's in the Grove. It's really, really good. Yeah, there's a lot of plant-based options that I like that sometimes I just have because I don't want to eat meat, like, or I don't want to. But no, this chocolate wasn't bad.
No, it was good. I would have it again.
Yeah,
I would. Like, you know, sometimes you're kind of like, it's okay.
Do they have less calories?
Well, I don't know how many calories are in an average chocolate
bar. No, it has about the same. 230 calories and 16 grams of fat.
Again, the base ingredient is the same. Yeah. So that's not surprising.
Anyway.
So moving on from our
plant-based moment. Hershey's. So speaking of food. So I actually was reading this again this week, and I came across this. This was a post actually, and I came across this post, and I immediately responded to it. So here's a question, and listeners, you could join along, and when you listen to this, so here's a question. It's about a restaurant. What was the celebration restaurant that you and your family used to go to as a kid for like special occasions? And it wasn't until you were an adult or older that you realized that this special occasion restaurant was not a five-star restaurant. When I read this, I immediately thought of two restaurants, Pizza Hut and Sizzler. I've said this before. When we used to go to Sizzler as a kid, my mom used to wear her nice blouse. My mom would get and put on makeup. She would wear her nice blouse. We'd all dress like in our Sunday best. And we would go to Sizzler to have all you could eat shrimp and the salad bar. Let's not forget the salad bar. So what were some of yours?
For us, it would have been Tony Roma's.
Oh, Tony Roma's. That was a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. For us, it would have been Tony Roma's.
Tony Roma.
I mean, a little later, but like Olive Garden type of thing, but mm-hmm. But yeah, Tony Roma's is like the first one I thought of was like Tony Roma's. When we would, Tony Roma's was Mother's Day, Father's Day, like this was, we're going out to Tony Roma's.
Oh yeah, which Tony Roma's did you go to?
There used to be one on Kendall, right? Like
there used to be one on US 1.
I know there was one in Miami Lakes. Doral. There was one, I don't remember the one in Doral.
Okay, so I read the comments because this was an Instagram post, and it's funny because I put Pizza Hut and Sizzler, and when I put that, I look at the comments, and the first comment was of Candace Cameron Bure, and she put Sizzler. So I thought that was funny.
Wow.
So here's some of the I wrote down some of the more common answers that people put on this post.
Okay.
So Steak and Ale.
Okay.
Steak and Ale was another, my mom would wear a fancy blouse to wear, go to.
We wouldn't go to, I don't know where the Steak and Ale even was here.
Steak and Ale was off of Kendall Drive, where it's a sports grill now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Steak and Ale, Olive Garden, obviously, Shoney's, Ponderosa. I mean, come on. When you would go to Ponderosa, I mean, you knew you were in for a good time.
The thing with Ponderosa, though, for us at least, it was always an Orlando thing.
Right. No, but when we used to go to Ponderosa a lot, like in the years we would go to Disney, I already by that time knew that Ponderosa was not an expensive restaurant. But I remember as a kid, because in Ponderosa, you would have to order the steak.
That's right.
You know, the charbroiled steak or the broiled chicken to then do the buffet. So I remember it was like all this food, and then they would bring you the steak, and they would bring you the papasal and the aluminum foil.
Aww.
And it was so fancy. And I remember that the steak, they would bring the little, it would have the little stick of like the, how you want it cooked.
With the little cow.
Yeah. And it'd be like, look at this, how fancy this restaurant, this Ponderosa. So another, others were CC's, but CC's is newer. Red Robin. Fuddruckers. I remember the first time I went to Fuddruckers.
Yes.
We were like, these are artisanal handmade burgers, like from special cows. Like, we thought Fuddruckers was so like an elevated experience. And then you would see the piece of meat hanging when you would walk, yep, you walk in. Yeah, like Fuddruckers was like, wow.
Kraft burgers, my friend.
Kraft burgers, absolutely. Bennigan's was another one a lot of people would put.
Okay.
I had my very first date at Bennigan's.
Aw, I know the story.
My very first date. And then Shoney's.
Shoney's, again, Shoney's for me was,
that was an Orlando thing. That was, they really have Shoney's down here.
But for me, that was an Orlando breakfast thing.
Right. But Shoney's also had a buffet and all that. So, and then of course Olive Garden. Those were some of the like, yeah, the common. So listeners, what were some of the restaurants that you used to go to as a kid that you thought were a big deal, and then you realized, oh, they're not?
I'm sure that there's some listeners, especially in the South Florida area, who will say like Rio Cristal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, actually,
Lilas.
It's funny you said Rio Cristal, because I remember as a kid going to Rio Cristal and ordering a bistec a la milanesa. Actually, I didn't order a bistec a la milanesa. I think my father did. And, you know, it's big and it has cheese and all that. And I remember it coming and being like, what an exquisite dish this is. What is this?
Listen, I'll still tear it up.
What is this, you know, culinary confection? And it was a freaking bistec a la milanesa. Like, you know, you're a kid and you think it's so fancy. And then Rio Cristal was like dark inside, you know, with like the mirrors, you know.
That place had ambiance. That was personality.
Love it or hate it.
Yes, exactly.
Tenía malangas, yeah, you know, hanging malangas.
Lots of malangas.
You know, if we were white, we would say pothos. It had lots of pothos. Hanging pothos or pithos, however the Dominicano said.
White people do not care about the malangas.
Yeah, but man, I've said this to you several times. When we would go to Sizzler, it was like such a special occasion. I mean, we were celebrating something. And, you know, again, my mom would put on her nice blouse. I remember that I had to wear, when I was a kid, I had, you know, you had a couple of outfits when you were a kid that were like your nicer outfits. Mine had like built-in suspenders.
Like overalls?
No suspenders. It was like a shirt. It was like a little dress shirt that had suspenders, but they were semi-sewed to the shirt. So then you would tuck in the shirt.
Okay.
And then you would just have to clip the suspenders in the front of your pants, right? So I would wear my built-in suspenders to go to the Sizzler.
I say you bring that look back.
You know what I thought was so funny? That like these restaurants in the 80s, the salad buffet or the salad bar... Mm-hmm. It was, I'm like right there. I'm seeing it right there. And like the dressings were so of their time. There was always Italian dressing, French dressing, right?
That ever famous French dressing.
Russian dressing and like, you know, blue cheese. And then they always had a little thing with like these little sunflower seeds.
Oh yeah, that nobody ever used.
And then they had a thing that always had Jell-O.
Yeah, why was there always Jell-O at the salad? Who was having Jell-O with their salad?
Los Americanos.
No. I've never seen anybody use Jell-O at a salad. No. I've never seen anybody be like, put some iceberg lettuce, some tomatoes, and some Jell-O.
Next to the Jell-O, there would be cottage cheese.
Again,
salad bar.
I'll give you cottage cheese before I'm going to give you Jell-O, mm-hmm, as far as the salad bar goes.
Yeah.
Like, who, again, I never saw any human being be like, well, now that we've got the French dressing, let's put on some Jell-O.
Right. French dressing was a thing in the 80s.
We were very international with our dressing back then.
We were.
Yes.
Now it's a vinaigrette or a balsamic.
Oh, yes, yes. But we don't ask where it's from. That's inappropriate.
So what do you have for me?
So actually, you know, I had a couple things, but I'm gonna keep it lighthearted this week as well. So I actually saw something yesterday that it tickled me, and I know you'll enjoy
medio coquilla.
It. Medio coquilla. It didn't wet my whistle, but it gave me it tickled me.
No te mojo el pito.
No. It did not.
Either be that thing.
I mean, so
show the chusha.
I was watching a show the chusha. As one does on a Tuesday. No, I was watching this documentary on Amazon, and it is a very low-budget documentary. So let me just set the bar right there. But it was a documentary made by some guy who's like a really big fan of the movie Clue.
The 1985 one?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there another one?
Well, okay. A little sidebar. Uh-huh. I think you may have seen it in my house years ago. So in the late 80s, I had the video version of Clue, the board game.
Oh, okay.
I used to watch the video version of the board game more than I watched the actual movie.
Why?
I don't know. I really liked the board game. I still have it, actually.
I have no doubt video. In my mind.
What I would say, what I always found really funny from, which was like my favorite part of the Clue of the actual movie, was when they shot the singing telegram.
Poor Jane Wiedlin.
But yeah, I remember my dad and I would crack up watching that.
Oh, to this day, like my sister and I will still quote it. I am a singing telegram. Boom.
Yeah.
But no, so it was this guy who just, you know, always loved the movie, and he grew up thinking that he was the only person who loved it. Mm-hmm. And as he got older, you know, he started seeing it. So he actually managed to get interviews with, you know, the people who are still alive, with Leslie Ann Warren, with Michael McKean, the director, the writer. And it just, you know, it just made me smile because that is one of those movies that I think, like you were saying earlier, you know, did you record a lot of things off of your off of the TV? And like I said, once we got cable.
Right.
Clue was one of those things I recorded off of the TV, you know, because it was like, well, this is on and this is hilarious. That movie, I don't think could be made nowadays. First of all, it was a flop when it came out. So obviously nobody's trying to remake it.
Clue's like a cult classic.
It is a cult classic, but it's...
Okay, Tim Robbins is in that movie, right?
Tim Curry.
Curry. Okay. Is it wrong that what I know Tim Curry for is Home Alone 2?
I don't know about wrong, but it's weird.
And when I think of Home Alone, I think of Home Alone 2.
Also weird.
Not Home Alone 1. I've seen Home Alone 2 100 times. What? Home Alone 1? Home Alone 1, I can't count how many. Tristan was really into Home Alone.
Yeah.
Until recently. Before Tristan was into Home Alone, I think I had seen the first one maybe once or twice.
I don't understand.
The second one, I could almost recite. I don't know why. It's like, I don't know why.
That would be like somebody saying that they can, you know, they've only seen Saturday Night Fever once or twice, but they've seen Staying Alive 1,000 times.
I've seen neither.
But I'm just saying, but that is the equivalent.
Wait, are those movies related?
Staying Alive is the sequel to Saturday Night Fever.
I meet up in Diego Nuevo on episode 2, what is it?
294.
294, yeah. Let me tell you, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Staying Alive was directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Staying Alive. Yeah.
But that song, okay, so that song was from Saturday Night Fever, but they used it as the title for the sequel.
Okay, which is the one that he's walking with a paint can?
That's Saturday Night Fever.
Which one came out first? Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
Staying Alive is a sequel.
I just said.
Okay, who's the girl in Staying Alive?
It's the blonde who gets the abortion in Dirty Dancing and Finola Hughes.
Finola Hughes is British, right?
Yes. You probably know her from General Hospital.
Yes. I think. Okay. Okay. Where are you going with this? Okay. Back
I
to Clue.
I have no idea back where I was going Clue, with this anymore. Alone.
Okay. Clue, the podcast.
Yes. So Clue. But I was just saying, you know,
documentary. I mean.
Yes. So it just made me like really, I don't know, it just gave me this like, oh, it's nice when you find out that there's other people of your tribe out there. And I adore that movie. Like that movie is one of those, you want to talk about a cult classic that is just so good. Like every single person, that movie is working on speeds and levels that like just again it would not work today. I don't think today's audience, as short attention span as they are, could keep up with the dialogue of that movie if it was to come out like today. Yes.
Professor Plum killed Colonel Mustard with the pipe, no, the candlestick in the conservatory.
We should play that game.
Okay.
I don't know anybody who has it.
Wait, I have the video version.
Do you have the board game, the board that goes with it?
I actually do.
Then we will be doing that.
I keep everything.
This is true.
And I have a VHS player, multi VHS players.
Let's do that.
I have two VHS players here in this house.
Oh my God, we should totally do it. Next time that we're all getting together with our friends.
So yeah, Tim Curry, I know him
from. That's bizarre. No, but I brought up Clue because I know you like the movie as well. But you, now I'm just finding out that you've seen a board game version of it.
Yeah. Do you know what has been one of the greatest disappointments of my entire life? And it was with you. We were in, I don't know, we were in 10th or 11th grade. And I remember that we all got together. I think it was at my house. To watch the Rocky Picture Horror Show. Now, I did not know what the Rocky Picture Horror Show was. I think I had heard the name.
To this day, he doesn't even know how to say it properly.
What?
Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I think I had heard the name, but I didn't know what the movie was about. I thought it was just like a horror movie, a camp, I don't know, like a 1970s, 1980s horror movie that was famous.
Like a slasher film.
And this was, you know, I was like 15, 16, so I was sort of realizing my aversion to musicals and how they annoy me. And I remember you put that thing on, and I'm like, what the hell is this?
I don't remember this at all.
Yes, I'm like, what is this? What? And I remember, you don't remember this?
At all?
Yeah, it was at my parents. I'm sure it was at my parents' house, and it was like our group. And I'm like, oh my God, get me a friggin' out of here. Like, why is Thelma and Louise, you know, one of them in a bra? Like, what is this?
Because she's got great knockers.
Like, why? And yeah, that was when I was sort of figuring out that I know I can't do a musical, especially that one.
It's funny because I think at that, if again, I don't remember, I don't have a recollection of this, but I probably had maybe seen it once at that point, if at all, because at that point, age-wise, it sounds like something I would have heard about, like, oh, you need to see this, and so, okay, let's watch it, but I don't remember this at all.
Well, I mean, look, that was when we were in, like, 10th grade, like, 20, 25 years later, I would go up, I would be at a Comic-Con or a Super-Con?
At Mega-Con.
When they were acting out the Rocky Picture Horror Show, and there's a part that everybody takes off their clothes and starts running around, and I partook in it, and I ran around with those people.
He was fully clothed.
I was. Oh, no, yeah, I wasn't taking shit off. But I remember when we went to go see that, and people started taking off their clothes. I was like, "What's happening here?"
I had never gone to a live thing either, so I didn't know what was happening.
You know, the only time I knew that they used to do that movie, like act it out, was in Perks of Being a Wallflower. That they would go to a showing of that,
the midnight screening,
right? But I didn't know that people actually did that in the real world.
No, I knew they did it in the real world.
Pero por qué? Why would you do this? Running around the thing. I mean, give me credit. I stepped out of my comfort zone.
You absolutely did.
Totally out of my element.
It's a twofer, because you were already out of your element with it being a comic book convention.
I go for comic book conventions for completely different reasons than everybody goes. I go for being like, this is what somebody who like feels like an outcast in every way, shape, or form and feels out of their element, this is how they feel like every single day. Because when I go to these conventions, and I've actually been to a few, I'm so like, I so realize that this is not who I am.
You're the outsider at that point.
I am the outsider. I'm like, this is so not who I am. I couldn't possibly be more out of my element than I am at a comic book convention. But I'm a good sport about it.
You embrace it.
Yeah, I do.
You really do embrace it.
And I follow that rule that you showed me. If you don't know what it is, it's anime.
It's anime. Listeners, Pero Primos, if you're ever at a comic book convention and there's cosplay going on and you don't instantly recognize it and you ask a couple people and nobody knows what it is, it's anime.
It's anime. That's a really cool rule of thumb.
Have I ever proven you wrong?
Yeah, no. You're on the money. Yeah. You're on the money. So, speaking of money, so there's something I wanted to bring up that is, you know, is very relevant to the housing crisis here in Miami, because as we know, there's a housing crisis pretty much.
We went from Rocky Horror Picture Show to the housing crisis.
It's a different type of crisis. Es una crisis.
Apparently, yes.
I wonder, there must be some loca out there called Crisis.
Oh, I have to find this now.
And it's with a Y.
Oh, yeah.
Totally. It Crisis.
Crisis. Like, it's because they thought it was going to be Chrissy.
Crisis Rivera.
I want to write a novela just to name somebody that.
With a Y.
Yes, of course.
Imagine you spell your name. Si mi nombre es Crisis. Crisis como y con Y. With a Greek.
With a Greek eye. With a Greek eye.
Anyway. So.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
So as we've heard a lot, you know, Miami especially is going through a housing crisis where rents have skyrocketed and many times doubled. And one of the places that has really been affected by these increase in rents has been Hialeah, which, as we know, Hialeah has always been an enclave for generations at this point of people that are working class, that, you know, it's a good neighborhood, mostly a Latino neighborhood. And, you know, for generations, people have been able to call Hialeah home and live affordably. And, you know, they've built several luxury high-rise projects in Hialeah, which rents start in like the mid-2000s and up.
Wow.
And there was an article in the Miami Herald earlier this week that showed that among these three luxury projects in Hialeah, there have been over 160 evictions filed in the last month or so, which is an astronomical number throughout these three luxury high-rise projects in Hialeah. And the article, they talked to somebody who was living there that her rent was $2,100. And then when she renewed her lease, it jumped to $2,800. So it went up over $700, actually, which now made it completely unaffordable for her. So I guess what I wanted to talk about was and bring up was, when is it going to be the breaking point that these rents just subside? Because this is not sustainable. This is not the sustainability of these rents increasing, especially in working class neighborhoods. This is just not realistic long term. So when is this going to subside? And most importantly, what are our elected officials doing at curtailing these costs? Because something has to be done, because it's not only these luxury high rises, but a freaking efficiency in Hialeah is $1,500. So where are people going to go live? And this is a really big problem because, you know, Miami is not a city that has like a New York or even a Silicon Valley that you have all these high wages. Miami is mostly working class. So when is relief finally coming?
So I'm going to start with the easy part first. When are the elected officials going to do something about it? Never.
never, nunca.
Never. They're not. Why? Because, you know what? If you can't afford, chances are if you can't, and I'm going to speak in generalities here, in broad strokes. If you can't afford your rent, chances are you probably are in a situation where you're not necessarily a voter, so to speak. So you don't matter to me. I'm a politician. If you don't vote, I don't care. Go off, walk, you know, put some rocks in your pockets and walk into the ocean. Find Atlantis. So that they're not going to do jack shit. But when is it going to change just from a logistical perspective? What is it that we, how many evictions was it?
Over 160.
Okay. 160 out of, do we know how many units?
Probably There's probably maybe close to 1,000 units.
Okay. So once it gets to about 500 evictions total, now we're going to see change. Why? Because the owners of these buildings need to fill these apartments. Mm-hmm. The problem here is that it started off at $2,100, which is still ridiculously stupid expensive. Mm-hmm. But then, again, like everything, people just get greedy. Just because you can ask for something doesn't mean you should. Mm-hmm. Because that does not... You know what? Oh my God, I can ask for $2,800 rent. Great. Who the fuck are you going to rent it to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now you've got a unit that's going to sit empty. You still got to pay a mortgage on it. You've still got to pay the expenses on it. And nobody's in there giving you anything. What did you... ¿Qué resolviste? ¿Qué hiciste?
Yeah, nothing. But and I think that also the problem...
It has with, to hurt their pocketbook.
The problem with these luxury high-rises in Hialeah is that, you know, developers... mission is to build these things, make money out of them, and then leave. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you know and understand Hialeah, you would know that the concept of a luxury high-rise complex is not a sustainable and realistic sort of map of Hialeah. That is not who lives in Hialeah. Young professionals that could, let's say, they're going for and can afford this are not going to live in Hialeah. And listen, I love Hialeah. Hialeah was my home, you know, for my office for like 12, 13 years. I have had my office in Hialeah. So I've even felt part of the community there. But, you know, with those prices, people aren't going to live in Hialeah. They're going to live somewhere else.
Right?
So this particular high-rise of Pura Vida, one in Hialeah, I mean, it's literally right next to Okeechobee Canal and Okeechobee Highway, next to a Wawa, a Dollar Tree, and a Taco Bell.
But I'm paying $3,000.
Y adelante es un taller de chapistería y de ferretería.
What a lovely view for $3,000.
No, it is, because that's in an industrial part of Hialeah. That was built on a former... trailer park, which actually a lot of those lived in that trailer park, a lot of people came to my office when they were first being offered money. And I remember those letters that they got. They were very like coercive. This is going to be sold and you're going to lose, you know, property value and it's in your best interest to accept. Like, and it was like $3,000 that we're offering them. It wasn't like,
let me say to you,
it was nothing. It was pennies. And a lot of these people didn't know, like they were working class people, low income, you know, they owned their trailer and that's what they built specifically this Pura Vida one on. And again, that's in a location that, like, if you're going to pay $2,800 and over $3,000, because I'm sure a two-bedroom or a three-bedroom is in the $3,000, $4,000 range, I could live in downtown or in Brickell.
With a real view.
Or the Gables. Like, yeah. But then again, it was the same developers that, you know, a year ago or some time ago, we talked about it here on the show, and everybody laughed at, were saying that Hialeah was the, everybody in Hialeah called it the New Brooklyn, and you could walk to Coral Gables from Hialeah. And I'm like, not a single person on the face of the earth has ever compared Hialeah to Brooklyn. Not one.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess in theory, you could walk to Coral Gables from Hialeah. I mean, the same way that I could walk from here to Orlando.
I mean, you could walk 500 miles.
Right. And then walk 500 more.
Just to be the man who walked 500 miles and stumbled in your new apartment in Hialeah door.
Yes.
Of your apartment.
Your unaffordable apartment door.
Okay, yeah. You dehydrated of all the humidity. Allá al lado de Okeechobee, la 16.
It's, again, and Hialeah, I wouldn't say predominantly, but Hialeah is a majority is industrial.
No, it is. Well, where this is at, because this is right by my office.
Yeah.
Where this is at in particular is industrial.
Right. So it's like, okay, again, you've said everything that could possibly be said.
That area of Okeechobee, and where the canal is, and that corner of Okeechobee y la 16, that is industrial. That's not, you know, residences or even other apartment buildings. It is industrial.
And for the record, it's not cool industrial, like,
right,
like meatpacking district, right, you know, no.
Exposed brick.
Yes, which they will tell you about, as we have said before here on this show.
Hi, welcome to my apartment. Oh, it's lovely. We've been here a couple of months. Don't you love the exposed brick? It's like, okay.
No, it's industrial as in chapiterias. Like,
chapiteria, ferreteria. Yeah,
right.
They have some gabinete. Yes. Laminate Plus is right next to it. Yeah. I know that neighborhood better than I know the neighborhood I live in. So, anyway. Hey everyone, it's DJ. Yoye, you know we've been digging on Kawi Lemon Lime Soda for a bit now. The tart, sweet, bubbly taste of Kawi Lemon Lime is perfect for thirst quenching, and it's been a hit at all of our Ping Pong Boyo pop-ups. People love it. Not to mention, it's been a crisp, refreshing soda since 1948 without an aftertaste like some other sodas. Just saying. Así que, get your Kawi Lemon Lime at your store or even online. And if your store doesn't carry it, pues pídelo and start enjoying the authentically Cuban taste of Kawi Lemon Lime today. Kawi Lemon Lime, qué rico es. All this Hialeah talk has made me thirsty.
I know. And I mean, they're not located in Hialeah, mm-hmm. but it's time for the last Kawi.
Limón con lima, lima, limón. Lo trae Kawi, que vacilón. En la respuesta para este calor. Tómate un Kawi, lima, limón.
It sure is.
Yes. All right. So do you want to go first?
Yes, I do. So I want to give a last Kawi to a very, very, very great man that we lost this week, who is a Florida icon and Florida legend, and that is to Bob Graham. Bob Graham, for those of you who maybe are not from Florida or didn't know who he was the governor of Florida throughout most of the 80s, and he continued to be in politics until the early to mid-90s, and he was in the Senate. And the thing with Bob Graham is that a lot of people, he was a Democrat, but a lot of people didn't even know what party he was, because he was somebody that was just loved and cherished by so, that came out so like Raffy, like cherish.
Cherish.
Cherish. My favorite song on Madonna, Cherish. he was somebody that was loved and cherished by so many people. And, you know, he is a dying breed, or there's very few of them left, of politicians that really cared about their communities, their constituents. Mm-hmm. It wasn't about power. It wasn't about a power grab. And this is why this man had such a... I wouldn't even say long, because, I mean, he was in government for a while, but he was very respected and very loved. And, you know, he passed away this week. And, you know, a lot of Floridians have mourned, because it's sort of saying goodbye to him, but to a bygone era of politics where it was people that were elected officials were people of dignity, of class, you know, dignity, classy people that cared about their communities, and not, you know, la depravación que hay hoy en día, to quote my father. But yeah, so last Kawi to Bob Graham.
That's a good one. That's a good one. So my last Kawi is actually, we're going to stay in D.C. for a minute. Mm-hmm. So this week, the White House actually hosted Cuban American Day. And I feel like by proxy, we were there.
Yes, absolutely.
Because several people that we know personally, mm-hmm. and also past guests, mm-hmm. have been you know, been on the show, were there. Gloria Calderon-Kellett was there. Lucy Lopez.
Yes.
Jenny Lorenzo.
Yes.
Andrew Otazo went too?
Yes.
Oh, and Danny and Rosa from Sandwich.
Absolutely.
Were up there as well. So
we do know we are close to that roster.
I'm telling you, we're closer to the White House right now. We're about as close as Ana Navarro.
Yeah.
Who's always at the White House for some reason. But I just wanted to give that last soda, that last Kawi to, you know, to that collection of people and whoever else was there, because I think politics are politics, and putting all of that aside, the fact that these are all kids of immigrants, in some cases probably, you know, immigrants themselves, whose parents came to this country with the American dream, you know, to achieve and to succeed, and to have our culture recognized at the highest level, you know, of this country's government in the White House, that's fucking awesome. You know, that's just, I mean, I'm being, you know, colloquial, but it's just, there's no other words for it, as far as I'm concerned. That is just fucking awesome that, you know, all these people that we know, whose stories we know, whose stories are our own, are at the White House being, I don't know if they're being honored necessarily, but in honor of our shared culture and experience
and achievement.
And you know what? And again, we know all these people personally, some more than others. And I could not be prouder of all of them.
Yes.
For being there.
Last Cowies to them.
Yes.
They get a 12 pack.
A 24 pack.
24 pack.
It's a long plane ride.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a good one. I thought about giving it to them too. But then, you know, obviously Bob Graham. But no, that was a good one. So anyway, people, we hope you listen, laughed, and learned. And as always, remember to grab your pastelito, your croqueta, and your cowie. And thank you so much for joining us, everyone. Have a great weekend.
Cuídense, mi gente.
Bye.
Pero Let Me Tell You is co-hosted by Darian Borges and Ismael Llano, produced by Ismael Llano, and our theme, Pero Let Me Tell You Freestyle, is composed by Michael Angelo Lomlaplex, the official gay guy. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to one full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.